بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of him jalla wa az during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may he subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is incumbent upon us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He azza wa jal has conferred upon us. If we were to try and enumerate these blessings, as I say often, and as our Maker rightfully states in the Noble Quran, we would fail miserably in an attempt to list down the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He states in the Noble Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to try and number the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تحصوها, you would not be able to encompass and cover all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these blessings is the fact that Allah azza wa jal keeps blessing us with seasons of goodness, seasons of opportunity to do more good deeds and secure amazing rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cross by the month of Ramadan. We cross by the amazing 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And now we are just a day away from a powerful day known as Ashura. Now this day is the 10th day. It coincides with the 10th day, Yawm al-Ashir, the 10th day of the month of Allah, Muharram. Of the month of Allah, Muharram. Muharram is from the sacred months. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. So from the months, there are 4 months that are sacred months, and from them, this month of Muharram, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this particular day, Ashura, is a special and powerful day. Now let's talk about this day. And in terms of this month, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is reported to have said, and if I'm not mistaken, the hadith is recorded in either the book of Imam Bukhari or Imam Muslim rahimahullah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the best fast to fast, the best fast after the month of Ramadan is the month of Muharram. The narration goes along the lines of these words. And for the individual who fasts Ashura, that is inshallah ta'ala tomorrow, according to our local sighting, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the fasting of Ashura expiates the sins of your previous year. Allahu Akbar. Just imagine. It's so amazing. Just fasting one day and Allah azza wa jal, He expiates the sins of one whole year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. So going back in terms of the history of Ashura, this was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina. This particular narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he enters Medina and he finds the Jews fasting. They were fasting the 10th day of Muharram, i.e. Ashura. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he asks them, why are you fasting on this particular day? The incident, the narration goes along the lines of these words. So the Yahud, the Jews, they informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it was on this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved our prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam from Fir'aun. It was on this day that Allah azza wa jal saved prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, from Fir'aun. In the sense, that was the day that Allah azza wa jal destroyed Fir'aun, drowned Fir'aun. And this is why, in terms of, you know, rendering gratitude unto Allah as a celebration, we are fasting Ashura. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his sahaba, the companions, and he said, we deserve to celebrate more than you all in terms of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because we have a closer link to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he commanded the sahaba to fast Ashura, and he sallallahu alayhi wasalam also fast the 10th day of Muharram Ashura. And he sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in general, because there are other narrations as well, to oppose the Jews and Christians in terms of what they do. So he sallallahu alayhi wasalam very firmly stated that if I were to live the following year, I would fast the 9th as well as the 10th of Muharram. Tasu'a and Ashura, in the sense the 9th, the day before Ashura, to oppose what the Jews are doing. To oppose what the Jews are doing. But then sadly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not live until the next year. But nevertheless, he had stated very clearly that most definitely, if I were to witness the next year, I would fast the day before Ashura, i.e. the 9th of Muharram. So based on this particular narration, scholars rahimahumullah, they state that it is highly recommended that an individual fasts the 9th of Muharram as well as the 10th of Muharram. That is the best. And if that is not possible, then you fast the 10th of Muharram and the 11th of Muharram. So basically, according to the local sighting, the 9th of Muharram is today, the 10th of Muharram is tomorrow, and the 11th of Muharram is day after tomorrow. So those of you who are fasting today, well and good, alhamdulillah. So it is upon you to fast today as well as tomorrow. Say for some reason you were not able to fast today, then you're supposed to fast tomorrow as well as day after tomorrow, in a move to be different from the Yahud, the Jews. And worst case situation, say perhaps if you find it difficult to fast 2 days, then it is upon you to at least fast the most special of these 3 days, the 10th day, that is tomorrow insha'Allah ta'ala. So this was the day, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the 10th of Muharram, Ashura, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wa salam from Fir'aun. As you all know, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah azza wa jal saved him as well as Banu Israel. Banu Israel, they were the tribe of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Israel was none other than the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam. And as for the meaning of Israel, it is like just as how we have Jibreel, Jibra'il, Jibreel, Mika'il, it stands for Abdullah, in the sense slave of Allah. Because Il in the Hebrew language means Allah. So Israel means Abdullah, the slave of Allah. Jibreel, Jibra'il means the slave of Allah. Mika'il, slave of Allah. All synonyms to Abdullah in the Arabic language. So Israel was none other than Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Jacob. And Banu Israel, they were all the children of Israel alayhi salatu wasalam. As you all know, this took place during the time of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when his brothers, very swiftly, when his brethren, they dumped him into the in the bottom of an abandoned well. A caravan comes about, they find him in the well, they take him out, and they do not return him back home. It was not a rescue team, but rather they took him and they sold him in the marketplace as a slave. And this, he was sold as a slave in Misr, in Egypt. He was sold as a slave, and then, as you all know the story, he grew up, and the lady of the house tries to seduce him. He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so obviously he stayed away from it, resulting in that lady plotting against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, hatching a plan against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and she had him thrown into prison. He remained in prison for many years. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. He remained in prison for many years until finally the king, he sees a dream. He sees a dream, and no one was able to interpret that dream. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was able to interpret the dream, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was brought out. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam wanted the king to proclaim his innocence to the masses, and the king proclaimed the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was appointed as a minister of finance and treasuries, if you will. The story goes on. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he controls the treasuries and finance of that particular land, and there was this huge drought that hit the lands neighboring Misr, neighboring Egypt, so much to the extent that the family of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they were also affected very badly. They come to Egypt seeking help from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a plan in motion. He put the plan in motion. Time does not permit. Time is of the essence. I'm not intending to go into the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. We will be more or less focusing on the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nonetheless, he planned it in such a way where he got down his family, his brethren and his mother and father to Egypt. And at that point, they sought the forgiveness of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not harbor any hatred towards them or any vengeance towards them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, he states, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, there shall be no reproach against you all on this day. He forgives them, and they all live in Egypt. They all live in Egypt. They live happily. They live happily. They were enjoying life in Egypt. They were living very comfortably, alhamdulillah, until the era of Fir'aun came about. Until the era of Fir'aun came about. Fir'aun was an oppressor, a dictator, an evil tyrant. He announced to the people that he claimed divinity, that I am God, I need to be worshipped. The rivers of Egypt flow under me. All of you have to worship me. He was an oppressive tyrant. He started to oppress the masses at large, and especially the Banu Israel, who were amidst the people of Egypt at that time. He started to oppress them so much, until the extent, at one point he saw a dream. Fir'aun, he saw a dream where a man from Banu Israel came about. In the sense, he was born, a child was born, and this child grows up to become a strong individual, and because of this individual, he loses his power, his authority over Egypt. He sees a dream, and this dream petrifies him so much to the extent that he issued a command, an order that all the male children of Banu Israel should be executed, should be slaughtered henceforth. But then the people of Egypt, the Copts, Qibtiyun, they had a need towards Banu Israel, because Banu Israel, they were in general intelligent craftsmen, and they used to be very hard working. So they had a need towards Banu Israel, towards the people of Banu Israel, especially towards the males of Banu Israel. And now, when this command of Fir'aun was issued to slaughter all the male children of Banu Israel, that resulted in the women folk increasing of the Banu Israel. And the people of Egypt had no need towards the women folk of Banu Israel, they needed strong men. So they all approached Fir'aun and said, we think it is better that you rethink this order that you have issued. If not, we would only have the female folk of Banu Israel, whilst we need the males of Banu Israel. So Fir'aun, he reissued a command where the male children of Banu Israel should be slaughtered every other year. So 1 year the children would be spared, and the next year, the following year, the children would be slaughtered. So in this particular situation, the year during when the children were being spared, the brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, was born. And the following year, when the children were being slaughtered, that was the year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam should be born. That was the year. Now the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, she was extremely worried, because the forces of Fir'aun, they were rampaging all over the place. They had eyes and ears everywhere. They had spies in different locations, because there was a grand reward that was announced if anyone were to bring information of a newborn child. They used to barge into the houses and slaughter the children in a very oppressive way because of the authority given to them by Fir'aun. The mother of Fir'aun was extremely worried for her newborn child, so much to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran that he inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to feed him, and if there were any situation or if she were to fear of something, to put the child into the river, i.e. the river Nile. So what the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did was that she made a basket, a box like a thing where she used to keep Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in that particular basket, and she used to tie it up to a tree close to her house. And whenever she felt that the child was hungry, she used to pull the basket towards her, feed the child, and afterwards place the child once again in the basket. One day the rope breaks, and Allah Azza wa Jal, His plan is obviously the supreme plan, the plan of all plans. His plan, His decree was that the basket should float by the palace of Fir'aun. And the wife of Fir'aun, she picks up the basket. In other words, the maids and the servants who used to work for her, they picked up the basket and take it to her. She sees the child, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills in her heart love for that child. So much to the extent that the minute Fir'aun heard about it, he comes immediately and he orders for the executioner, for his forces to get rid of the child, to kill the child. She intervenes and she says, "Don't kill him. He is a coolness to our eyes. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ لَا تَقُتُلُهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَذَا." Don't kill him. He will be a coolness to our eyes. He may perhaps benefit us, or we can adopt him as a son. She intervenes and she convinces Fir'aun. She dissuades him from killing the baby. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, he grows up in the palace of Fir'aun. But Fir'aun had this hatred towards him at all times, because he noticed that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a liking towards Banu Israel. He used to support Banu Israel. He used to spend a lot of time with the Banu Israel. So there was always this hatred and doubt within the heart of Fir'aun, but he could not do anything to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because obviously he had agreed with his wife to look after the child and bring up the child. Until one fine day, now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has become a strong individual, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the noble Quran. He goes by the marketplace. He's walking by the marketplace, and he notices two men fighting. Two men fighting. One was from Banu Israel, and the other was from the Egyptians. Two men fighting. And this was because the Egyptian had tried to command and order the Israeli, the Banu Israel, the person from Banu Israel, to come work by him, and he was forcing him to come work by him. Whilst the person from Banu Israel, he was refusing. And because of this, the Egyptian started to beat him up. The person from Banu Israel, the Israelite, he looks at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and tells him, "Ya Musa, please help me." He cries out for help. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was an individual. He could not tolerate injustice and oppression. He rushes to the aid of that Israelite, of that person from Banu Israel, and he pushes the Egyptian aside. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, فَوَكَزَ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. He pushes the man, and as we just mentioned, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a very strong individual. The minute he pushed the man, due to the blow, that man fell to the ground dead. He immediately fell to the ground dead. Now when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam observed this, he cries out, "Hada min amali shaytan." This is indeed the mischief, the handiwork of shaytan. This is indeed the mischief and handiwork of shaytan. And he rushes out of Egypt, because he knows that this was the opportunity that Fir'aun would wait for, to seize him and perhaps even kill him. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, fearing for his life, he rushes out of Egypt, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran. And we know, long story cut short, he makes his way towards Madian, where he marries the daughter of an individual by the name Shu'aib. There are certain scholars who state that it was none other than Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, and there are others who state that it was a righteous man who went by the name Shu'aib. He marries one of this man's daughters, and he lives for a long time with that man, as the contract between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and this individual Shu'aib, basically the mahar that he paid was that he would work for that man for 8 years. For 8 years. And that man, he went on to inform Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "If you can complete 10, then it is the best." And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he remained with this man. He and his wife, he remained with this man, i.e. his father-in-law, for 10 years. For 10 years. And after 10 years, he makes his way back to Egypt. On his way, as we all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Taha, where halfway through the journey, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was appointed as a prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was appointed as a prophet by Allah azza wa jal, and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go to Fir'aun and to invite Fir'aun to the truth. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he implores and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him Harun, his brother Harun, as a support. In Surah Taha, he states, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقُدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَجَعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي. A long dua. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make eloquent words flow out of his tongue, because he's obviously now going to go and invite Fir'aun. And he knew that Fir'aun would pull up this case against him that he had murdered an individual, even though it happened accidentally. He did not do it intentionally, but he feared that. And he also wanted someone to support him. So he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support him by appointing his brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam as a prophet as well. Allah Azza wa Jal answers the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes with his brother Harun after reaching Egypt and informing his brother Harun. Both of them, they go to Fir'aun to invite him to the truth. He goes to the court of Fir'aun, and Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with two miracles, two signs to show Fir'aun. There was a heated discussion between Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, where Fir'aun, he states, oh, you have come back now, whilst 10 years back you killed an individual and you ran, you are a murderer. He started saying all kinds of things, not realizing that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had gone to the aid of an individual and accidentally killed the other man, whilst Fir'aun, being the oppressive tyrant he was, he had murdered so many children. He had slaughtered so many young, innocent children intentionally, and there was no one to question him. But here he is questioning Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam invites him to the truth. And whilst inviting him, Fir'aun asks him, okay, fine, you brought the message, but I need proof. Show me proof. Perhaps you have some signs to show me, to make me believe in your message. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a stick with him, an asa. He put it to the ground, and that stick immediately became a writhing serpent, a huge snake, a huge cobra. Now Fir'aun was witnessing this sign. It was a stick. Allah Azza wa Jal, he changed the properties of that stick. An unliving thing becomes a writhing serpent. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he puts his hand into his coat. In one narration, in one ayah it states that he put it by his bosom. In another ayah it states that he put it into his pocket, and he takes his hand out, and it is now glittering and shining away. It was glittering and shining away. Two signs bestowed upon Musa alayhi salatu wasalam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even after witnessing such manifest and clear signs, Fir'aun cries out, oh, you are a magician. You have come with magic to hoodwink me and to take away my seat of power, my authority. And he sets a challenge. He sets a challenge. He calls magicians, the magicians that he knew from all over the lands of Egypt, to compete with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And a day was set, a day was appointed, where there was going to be a showdown between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the magicians of Fir'aun. There was a huge reward promised for the magicians if they succeeded in beating Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The day comes about, and people gather from all over the land to witness this event. It was a big day. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he stands in front of the magicians, and the magicians, they throw down their sticks. Scholars of tafsir, they write that they were nothing other than pieces of rope that were tied to sticks, and they were moving it around. They were fooling the eyes of the people, just as how magicians do today. It was something similar to sleight of hand. They were fooling the eyes of the people, the audience, the spectators, and everybody, all the individuals who were witnessing this, it was as if the pieces of rope had turned into serpents and they were wriggling on the ground. It seemed as if they were writhing serpents. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the minute he witnessed this spectacle, there was fear in his heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassured his prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he threw his staff down. He threw his stick down. Immediately, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that stick, it changed into a huge serpent. And not only that, it gobbled up all the pieces of rope that were on the ground. It turned into a huge serpent and gobbled up all the pieces of rope that were falsely writhing on the ground. The minute the magicians witnessed this, They knew that this was not sleight of hand. This was not some trick of illusion. They knew this was the real thing. And they immediately fell down in sajda. They immediately fell down in prostration. And they cried out, "We believe in the Lord of Musa. We believe in the Lord of Harun." Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. The minute Fir'aun witnessed this, he cries out now, "Who gave you permission?" He cries out to his magicians, "Who gave you permission to believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun?" Allahu Akbar. Look at his arrogance. Look at his pride. He even expects people to come and ask his permission before bringing in Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before believing in Allah, the true Allah, you have to ask Fir'aun permission. This was his arrogance. And this is why he at one point stated, "Ana Rabbukumul A'la." I am your Lord, the Most High. Worship me, Lord me. These were the statements made by Fir'aun. He was such an arrogant and oppressive tyrant. He immediately cries out to all of his magicians, "So you have believed in the Lord of Musa and Harun. You have to pay the consequences now. You have to face the consequences. I am going to slaughter each and every one of you. I am going to cut your hands and your feet off and crucify you." And he did it. Scholars of tafsir mention that these magicians, in the morning, they were magicians, obviously denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But towards evening, they became strong believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were martyred. Allahu Akbar. They were martyred. Time passes, Fir'aun increases his persecution and punishment upon the Banu Israel. They were finding it very difficult to remain in Egypt, until finally the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends that they should leave Egypt. They should leave Egypt. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather the Banu Israel, the children of Israel, and all leave Egypt. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when night approached, he gathered the Banu Israel and he leaves Egypt. He was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Fir'aun would chase after him. They leave Egypt and they head. Some scholars state toward the east and some scholars state toward the west. They were heading out from Egypt when Fir'aun gets wind of the fact that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had gathered the Banu Israel and that they had left Egypt. He immediately mustered his army, thousands and thousands of soldiers, all of his forces, and he starts to chase behind Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Banu Israel. Until finally they reach the ocean. They reach the ocean and now they were at despair. The people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Banu Israel, they start to cry out, "Oh, we are in a predicament now. We are going to be caught. In front of us it is the ocean. If we tread the ocean, we are going to drown most definitely. And behind us is Fir'aun and his forces. He is going to kill us all. It is going to be a massacre." My dear brothers, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that day was Yawm Ashura. That was the 10th of Muharram. That was the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to strike the ocean. And the minute he struck the ocean, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the minute his stick struck the ocean split into pathways. According to the scholars of tafsir, there were 12 pathways that were formed. In the sense, the water of the ocean split and there were walls so high of water. And it was so easy for the Banu Israel, the children of Israel, with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to cross the ocean. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the ocean would remain until Fir'aun made his way. And when he reached halfway in the middle of the ocean, the water would come crashing down upon him and drown him. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Banu Israel, they make it onto the other side. Fir'aun reaches the brink of the ocean. And he cries out to his forces, "Can you see my power? Look at my power. It is because of me that the ocean has split like this. It is for me and my forces. You can all make your way." And he cries out to his forces to start taking each flank of the army took a pathway and they were making their way onto the other side. When they reached the middle of the ocean, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that the ocean should come crashing down upon them. The walls of water came crashing down upon them. And this was on Yawm Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Fir'aun was about to drown. He was about to drown. He was in the middle of the ocean. He looks around. He sees his forces. He sees his power, his might, everything gone. All in fragments, in pieces. And now he cries out. He cries out. I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Now this was at the point, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, he was facing death. Malakul Maut was in front of him. This is a point known as a gharghara. According to the conditions of tawbah, there are certain conditions laid down for an individual's tawbah to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these conditions is the fact that you have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the concept of tawbah is to turn to Allah. Tawbah is an Arabic term which means to turn to Allah, i.e. to turn back to Allah in repentance, seeking repentance. From the conditions of tawbah is that the tawbah must take place before gharghara, before your soul reaches your galat, i.e. before you witness Malakul Maut, before death comes in front of you. Because after witnessing death, you can cry tears of blood, but your tawbah will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one. And number two, before the sun rises from the west, opposing the norm where it is rising from the east, closer to the day of Qiyamah. From the major signs of the day of Qiyamah is that the sun will rise from the west. No sooner the sun rises from the west, the doors of tawbah will be slammed shut. And even if you were to cry tears of blood, that tawbah will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Fir'aun, he was in the state of gharghara. He had witnessed death, he had witnessed everything. He had witnessed so many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he cries out, now, after massacring and slaughtering so many children, after persecuting Banu Israel, after doing all that he did, after claiming divinity, worse than kufr and shirk is to claim, obviously to claim divinity. He wanted all of them to obey him and worship him. He slaughtered the magicians who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now at this point, he cries out, I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Allah Azza wa Jal was not going to accept the tawbah of Fir'aun. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam descends. He comes down in blazing speed. He comes down and forces water down the mouth of Fir'aun. Your dua, your tawbah, your iman is not worthy to be heard in the heavens, O Fir'aun. Because you were such a dictator, such an oppressive tyrant, a sinner, one who transgressed the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, yes, Allah Azza wa Jal is the most forgiving, the most merciful. We read in the noble Quran in so many places, Inna Allaha ghafoorun raheem, Inna Allaha ghafoorun raheem. Indeed, Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Each time we open up the Quran, we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And He Himself states in the noble Quran, نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inform my slaves, نَبِّ عِبَادِي, O my slaves, إِنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, I am the most forgiving, the most merciful. But it is not upon us to take advantage of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not upon us to play games with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because in the very next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal states, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And also inform them that my punishment, my torment, is an extremely painful torment. So it is a balance between raja and khawf, between hope and fear. We have to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is not befitting and it is not appropriate upon an individual to lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. We should never ever despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, we need to fear the anger, the ghadab, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun, he took advantage of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were so many signs shown unto him. So many signs, not only the serpent, not only the hand of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there were even other signs. Allah Azza wa Jal showed him so many signs. But he was oblivious to all of these signs. He remained oblivious. He was in oblivion. He rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan, his decree was that Fir'aun should be drowned. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the noble Quran, He preserved the body of Fir'aun until today as a sign for those who come after. It is a sign for us to look at his body, to hear about the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and derive lessons. We should not be arrogant, we should not be proud We should not remain oblivious of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be humble. We should seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many lessons obviously to be derived from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So coming back to Banu Israel, after that which took place in terms of their encounter with Fir'aun, they now travel with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were a nation so stubborn. They also had witnessed so many signs. The help of Allah Azza wa Jal was with them throughout their journey. But they remained a stubborn nation. They kept questioning Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They refused to go with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They would stay away from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. At one point when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they started worshipping a calf made out of gold, made out of jewelry. They started to worship that calf, a calf made by an individual by the name Samiri. Just before that, they were crossing a particular village after this encounter with Fir'aun, and they saw the remains of idols in that particular village. They all go to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and tell him, "Oh Musa, just as how these people had these idols to worship, can we also put up some idols to worship alongside with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" This made Musa alayhi salatu wasalam so angry. He said, "How on earth, after witnessing so many signs of Allah, that you want to now associate partners unto Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to worship sticks and stones beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" This was Banu Israel. This was the Yahud, the Jews. And this is why our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that we are more deserving to fast on this day and celebrate this day because of our link with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was from the muwahidun, from the monotheists. He did not associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not such an individual. He did not ascribe partners unto Allah azza wa jal. Likewise, you and I, we do not ascribe partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in Allah and Allah alone. And we follow his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We do not indulge in things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not indulge in innovations that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has warned us against. And when we talk about Yawm Ashura, we have to be extremely careful that we stick to that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam left us with. As you can see, this is the history of Ashura. This is the history of Ashura. And according to certain scholars of tafsir, like Imam At-Tabari and others, they also state that it was on the 10th of Muharram, it was on the day of Ashura, that Allah Azza wa Jal saved Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam as well. It was on the 10th day, Allah Azza wa Jal made the waters recede and decreed that the ship of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam should come to rest on Al-Judi, on Mount Judi. It was on the 10th of Muharram, Yawm Ashura. So from this we understand that the history of Ashura, it goes way back. And we fast because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam fasted, and because he commanded all of us to fast as well. Because of the fact that we deserve to celebrate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saving Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam much more than the Yahud deserve to celebrate that. So we should stay away from innovations. As you might be aware, there are many innovations that have cropped up in terms of Yawm Ashura. We do not beat ourselves up. We do not have big celebrations. Nothing. We do not light up our houses. We don't do all of this for Yawm Ashura. What has been reported to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to fast. We make ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We prove our love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we prove our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not by indulging in innovations. Because after all, we know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of innovations. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every innovation is a misguidance. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every misguidance is in the blazing inferno of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the blazing fires of Jahannam. Ameen. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, hold fast unto the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Hold fast unto the teachings of Islam. Do not stray from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And do not indulge yourself or yourselves in innovations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So like I said at the beginning, those who are fasting today, well and good, alhamdulillah. This is according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're supposed to fast the 9th of Muharram, that is today, and tomorrow, the 10th of Muharram. Those who miss today, you may fast tomorrow and day after tomorrow to be in contrary to that which the Yahud do. Because the Jews, they only fast the 10th of Muharram, that is tomorrow. They only fast one day. So according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do exactly the opposite by fasting 2 days. Either one day before or one day after. Worst case, due to some reason, some excuse, you find it difficult to fast 2 days, then at least fast Yawm Ashura to avail of the amazing rewards promised to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla open the doors of understanding for all of us. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May He accept our good deeds. And just as how He united us here this Friday, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wa yan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.